Join Kenneth Copeland today from the 2007 Southwest Believers Convention as he shares how the blessing was made to operate in your life. Next on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Tonight, the Lord has instructed me to share with you really the key issue, the very core message that it'll work in anybody's life. God is no respecter of persons. When I saw it the first time, I was a student at Oral Roberts University, and I got my first glimpse of it. And only one slight glimpse. Now you have to understand, Gloria and I were, oh my goodness, our income the year before was well below the poverty level of the United States. Well below. And yet we had a lot of debt and so forth. You've heard us talk about it. I was under such a strong influence of failure. It rode me like I had a saddle on me. It was in my thinking all the time. I was just burdened with it. It just seemed like I had failed everything. Well, when I went to Old Roberts University, the first day of classes was the first day that I'd been in the will of God in my adult life. Of course, everything was a mess. The reason I had such a failure complex is because I was a failure. I'd failed at everything I'd tried to do. Amen. But that changed. I went from a deadbeat failure in my own consciousness. I saw myself really worse than I actually was. Not bad enough, but the way I saw it was a whole lot worse than that. That's like a guy went to the doctor with an inferiority complex. He said, "You don't have any complex. You're actually inferior." Well, that's the way it struck me, man. You don't have a failure complex. I mean, you're actually a failure, you know. That's really the way. Only thing I'd ever done. I'd done two things in my life at that time that was really outstanding. One, I married Gloria Niece. Now, that was the first thing I'd done right. And the second thing I did was make Jesus the Lord of my life. And you put those two together, and it jerked a lot of slack out of me. And I was headed in the right direction, but when I got hold of this, it changed my thinking from failure to success. The first time I ever saw it, my whole attitude changed. I knew that I knew that I knew. It wasn't something I just believed. I knew that I knew what I knew. I knew I was already a multi-wealthy man. And it was only a matter of time for this thing to take root and be manifest in my life. I mean, we didn't have money enough. I didn't have money enough to buy gasoline and food at the same time on the first trip that we took with the whole family and the kids going to Oklahoma City to preach a meeting up there. I put all the money in the fuel tank. And the kids were saying, "Daddy, we're hungry." I said, "Yeah, I know it. I am too. When are we going to eat?" I said, "Any minute now. Any time now." And a little bit later, "How much longer, Daddy? We're hungry." "Well, just any little bit now." I didn't have a dime. But I never would say things like that because this thing had just overwhelmed me. I am a wealthy man. And I know wealthy people don't ever even carry any money. There's always somebody there to pay the bill. I mean, I wasn't trying to work this up. You understand what I'm saying to you? And you'll understand more as we go into it. Well, as we got into the edge of Oklahoma City, I saw money flash by the wind just blowing crosswise of the road there. And I said, "Gloria, that is money I saw blow across the street." She said, "I didn't see it." I said, "Oh, man," I got over in that left lane and made the turnaround and came back and got over here next to the road. And I'm driving really slow, driving longer, and there it was. The wind had just plastered it up against a cyclone fence. I pulled over. I got out. I went and peeled my $20 off of that fence. And we right on the edge of Fast Food Alley coming into Oklahoma City. And the kids went to screaming and hollering, "There's the Sizzler. There's the Bull. Let's go in there." I said, "Anywhere you want to go." I mean, you know, 1967, 1968, 20 bucks would buy a nice lunch. And we did. But that was, you'd seem like you'd just be so excited you couldn't stand yourself. I didn't see why not. This thing had so totally consumed me. And I want to show it to you tonight. And the Lord has given me permission. I've been studying it for the constantly, consistently. It's been the key issue of my studies. It's assumed enormous amounts of my prayer and praise time with the Lord. And you heard my dad say on that clip tonight, the times that I'll, you know, go walking down in that Arkansas riverbed, and this was a whole lot of what I was meditating on back there then. So let's go back to the Gospel of John chapter 1. Once again, we will read our foundation scripture that we've been reading each of my services throughout the week. Verse 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same. Say that out loud. The same. The same was in the beginning with God. All things. Say that. All things. Drag out the word "all" a little bit and impress your mind with it. All things. All things were made by Him. Him who? God the Word. Hallelujah. And without Him, without God, nor without the Word, was not anything made that was made. In Him, in God, in the Word was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. 14th verse. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now notice, the Word was made. The Word was made flesh. We use the word "become." Well, and that's not incorrect, but it does not have the impact that I want you to allow to impact your thinking tonight. The Word was made. Made. Something was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, go over with me to the third chapter of the book of Galatians, and let's make a note here and lay this on top of that revelation that God, in the beginning, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God the same. And I want to lay this on top of that. See, I caught sight back there then that I was wealthy in Christ Jesus. That I was a new creature. Old things had passed away. All that failure syndrome was gone. All that poverty was gone. All that curse was gone. I mean, it was gone right there. You couldn't tell it by looking at me. I was still driving the same old doggy car. I'd lost, by the time I got hold of this, I had lost 40, 50. I'd lost about 55, 60 pounds. I didn't have but one suit. And there was a guy altering that suit over and over and over again. And the last time I took it over there, he kind of laughed and he said, "I don't think I'm going to be able to do this no more, man." I said, "What?" He said, "I don't think I can take them pants up no more." I said, why? He said, you're going to have one big pocket right in the back. Well, I mean, things were changing, see? This was happening to me, and this is what I want to get through to you tonight. I wasn't becoming wealthy. I already was. I caught sight of the fact that everything I ever needed, far beyond my wildest dreams, everything I would ever need in the ministry, everything I would ever need in my family, I mean the buildings, cars, airplanes, equipment, money, I don't care what it was, far beyond anything I had guts enough to believe, beyond all I could ask or think. I finally found that in the book of Ephesians. Was already set aside for me before God ever called me to this ministry. Yeah, the scripture talks about your heavenly account. It's there. It's already been set aside. Now, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was in the process of drawing that, all of it, the health that I needed, the mental changes that I needed, all of this, not only for me, but in my family and this whole thing. It was in the process of making it into this world. It was withdrawing it from the other side and bringing it into things manifestation here. I needed health in my body. My body wasn't healthy. I needed better health. I got it. I needed money. I got it. Everything I've ever needed, I received. But it was all already there. And it's that transfer that people get hung up on. Even after they find out about it, how do you cash the check? So, notice here in the third chapter of the book of Galatians, and let's lay this on top of, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, this is the Word of God. In the 13th verse, Christ, the Anointed One, through His anointing, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made. Well, now here's a little peephole peek into the treasure house of God. Has been made a curse for us. What made him a curse? The Word of God. God said it. And that Word, Jesus received that Word by faith. Now, the way you and I have to receive healing by faith, He received being made sin for us. He received sickness and disease. He was made to be sin. He was made a curse for us. How? He took God's Word for it in the Old Covenant. It's all in there. Every word of it is in there. He took those words and He received all of that into and on Himself by faith. He took your unrighteousness. He took your sin. He took your sickness, your disease, and He accepted and He closed the deal by accepting that cross and its punishment. But that wasn't the big thing when He was saying, oh God, let this cup pass from me. Hanging on that cross was nowhere near the major thing. The major thing was being separated from His Father and having to go into hell and pay that price for that. There ain't nobody that ever got in there, ever got out. And He had to have faith in the Word of the living God, that once He got in there, that the Word would get Him out. Yes. Amen. Amen. That's a step of faith. Yes. He had to be made sin. He had to be made a curse. How did that happen? He found it in the Word, and he released it, and he confessed it with his mouth. You've read places where he confessed it himself. He told them what he's going to have to do. Well, he wasn't just telling somebody. He confessed these things and received them and let the Word do its work. Not only in the curse, but what? Now, note it. Look here. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written. You see where he got it? It is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, huh? Through Jesus Christ, through Jesus and his anointing, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. Now, there's the whole process again. The Word made flesh. The Word made sin. The Word made a curse. The Word made you the blessing and seed of Abraham. Didn't you see it? It's the Word action. It's Word action received by faith. And you find it over there in the 29th verse. Look at that. 3:29. And if you be Christ, if you belong to him, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, this word is your title deed. The heirship to that fortune. Man, I'm telling you, it's a vast human beings can't calculate. They're not a computer on the face of the earth that can handle that many digits. Can you see it? Well, it's the same process. The only way that it'll ever manifest in your life is for the Word to make it. See, this is a creative Word. It started out with light be, light was. This is creative Word. It has the creative power and anointing of God in it. The very first words that God ever said to a human being, be fruitful and multiply, replenish, fill up the earth with his glory, with this Garden of Eden, this magnificence that he had released here. He released it in his Word. And if this man had done what God intended for him to do, that Word would have made him glorious. Can you see it? That Word would have made that Garden of Eden begin to expand. That Word would have made the children and the offspring in the very likeness and the glory of Almighty God. That's the reason he released it here. The Word was to make it. The Word would have made it so. The blessing which became the blessing of Abraham has one design, one desire by God. It was released in order to make that Garden of Eden expand and expand. We have the geological boundaries to that garden right here in the Word. In general, it is the area now we know now as Iraq. We have the boundaries to it, the rivers and all the boundaries. We know how big the Garden of Eden was. It was big for a garden for one man to live in. It was huge. But it didn't cover the whole planet. And you can see right quick what the rest of it was like when Adam had to leave. It was a mess. It was wild. But God intended for him, with faith in those words, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, fill this thing up with this glory, and let that word become. Let that word expand that garden and expand it. And he was to have more family, and the garden would expand, and the birds were blessed, and the fish were blessed, and everything that lived, everything that breathed, flew, crawled, walked, swam, all of it would be blessed by God's very compassion and his life and his love being manifested in the oceans and in the skies and all over, until that garden covered the entire planet. This little planet would become the garden spot of the universe.
Now tonight, would you welcome the Strand of Pearls.
New from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Join Kelly Copeland along with Kenneth and Gloria's granddaughters, Jenny Coots, Aubrey Pearsons, and Lindsay and Rachel Ward.
Hallelujah, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Hallelujah,
I can hear the voices singing soft and low.
Hear songs such as Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
In the Sweet By and By.
In the Sweet.
When the roll is called up yonder.
When the roll is called up yonder.
In the garden.
And he walks with me and he talks with me.
Lift up the Lord with these classic hymns and joyful spirituals. Strand of Pearls is a musical experience you won't want to miss. Order the new CD, Strand of Pearls, today for only $9.98. Log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. Or call toll-free 800-575-4455. Or write to Kenneth Copeland. The address is simply Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Strand of Pearls is a collection of uplifting bluegrass hymns and spiritual songs, and also is a great gift idea. Order several copies and give them to your family and friends this Christmas.
You know, people look at mom and dad and they look at this family and they say, oh, well, those are the Copelands. You know, that works for them because they're the Copelands. Well, you know, when dad was talking about, I knew I was a multi-wealthy man. We didn't have anything. We were living in a little bitty house and we didn't have anything. And he didn't have the things that we have today. And he didn't have the big ministry that they have today. But he had the Word of God. And God is no respecter of persons. The Word of God is just as available, even more so available to you than it was to them. Have you ever thought about that? The Word is more available to you than it was to them back then. You've got it on TV. You've got it on tape. You can get it on the internet at any hour of the day. And the Word of God is your title deed to the plan of God for your life, your title deed to the blessing, your title deed to health, your title deed to life and joy and peace, the Word of God. So get your Bible out today. Spend some time reading it. That's a thing that hearing the Word brings that life. It brings it to life in your life. It's the Word made flesh when we begin to read it and put it into action. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the Word that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that you are no respecter of persons. Lord, what you've done for this family, what you've done for others. Lord, what you've done for Jesus, you will do for all of us. What you've done through Jesus, you will do through us. And we receive that by faith. We receive your Word by faith. Every word that's written about us, Lord, we choose today to receive it by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're going to have a good day today. Our product offer today is a new CD by the Strand of Pearls. That's a new singing group. This is me and my girl. These two are mine. This one's mine. And my niece in the middle. And we sing bluegrass music. This is a new recording. And the name Strand of Pearls, my grandmother's name was Vanetta Pearl. And she loved this music. So we're Strand of Her. And so that's where the name came from. That's kind of interesting. But just order yours today. I think you'll enjoy it. It's got a lot of joy and peace in the music. You know, today is Election Day in the United States. There's no unimportant election. You may or may not vote in your country. But as a believer, it's our God-given responsibility when we have the opportunity to vote. So pray. Go vote. It makes a difference. And like Mom and Dad always say, Jesus is Lord.
This is the Year of the Open Door, and Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. For more information on this broadcast, today's product offer, or other ministry tools and resources, visit our website at kcm.org. You may also call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. As we celebrate 40 years of ministry, we believe for God's plan in your life and that you will walk through the open door of the blessing this year.
In the beginning, God gave man dominion, or responsibility, over his place, the garden. For Noah, it was the ark. For Abraham, it was his son. And through the ages, responsibility has always been a measure of faith and obedience. In the parable, Jesus spoke in terms of talent. And for today's believer around the world, nowhere is responsibility more critical than in the area of civil government.
When we vote people in that have moral guts, and if nothing else, just have a sense of what God believes is right and wrong, you can go a long ways toward changing.
That's right.
For the believer, responsibility is manifest in the education, prayers, and votes sown into the election process that shapes neighborhoods and communities. And as we sow, so shall we reap.
Talk of all his wondrous love and care.